Characterizing mode of transmission of cotton aphid.
All right, good morning, everyone. Thank you for being here today. I'm a master's student under Drs. Jenny Kobernick and Alana Jacobson at Auburn University. And today I will be going over the results from my transmission experiments involving both Aedes gossypii and Bemisia tabaci. So we've heard a lot about CLRDV this morning, so I'm going to go ahead and cut off some of the early stuff because we've heard it about five times already. CLRDV is vectored primarily by the cotton aphid, Aedes gossypii. The two primary morphs that vector disease are the alates and the apteryx, or you can call them winged and non-winged. So, alates will introduce virus into the field, and from there they will birth apteryx aphids, which will then colonize. I'm having trouble with that, sorry. Colonize the field, and as the colony builds, the host plant will eventually decline or the plant becomes too crowded, and then the aphids will take off and form more alates. And so after those aphids spread virus within the field as they colonize, typically moving down the row in the field, or they can cross rows if plants are touching. In order to understand the aphids' role in epidemiology and the spread of the virus, we also need to understand the mode of transmission, which characterizes how long it takes for a vector to acquire and transmit viruses. So acquisition time is, acquisition time is the amount of time a vector must feed on an infected plant to ingest the virus. The latent period is once an aphid has ingested the virus, how long does it take for it to circulate through the body before it can transmit? Inoculation time, once the aphid is able to transmit the virus, how long must it feed in order to transmit the virus to that recipient plant? And retention time, once an aphid has the virus, how long can it transmit for? So for CLRDV, the mode of transmission is persistent and circulative, and this is demonstrated in the aphid diagram. So if you imagine, I am not seeing my arrow. Can you get the mouse back up there? All right. So if you imagine the colored dots are the virions, I know Dr. Jacobson's already gone over this. The aphid silate must first reach that phloem, which takes about 15 to 30 minutes, and at which point it will start feeding on the phloem. Those virions will travel up the stylet, pass through the foregut, midgut, and hindgut, and once it's in the midgut and hindgut, it will pass into the hemocele. And the hemocele has a circulative motion, and it will eventually travel forward to the accessory salivary gland, and from there be put back into the saliva canal and back into the plant tissue. So that time from where it takes it up to where it spits it back out is the latent period. So the time it takes from when the virions first enter the stylet to when they exit can be several days. And you heard about using vector management strategies to reduce virus incidence from Dr. Jacobson earlier. So if we know the time it takes for vectors to acquire and transmit, then we can begin to identify vector-based strategies for disease management. So CLRDV belongs to the luteavirus family. General characteristics of transmission for this group of viruses is that it takes around 15 to 30 minutes for an aphid to reach the phloem to both acquire and transmit the virus because this group of viruses is phloem limited. But research examining the mode of transmission for CLRDV and a closely related virus, Australian cotton bunchy top, however, showed a faster acquisition and transmission time. So on the right, we have results from experiments performed in Brazil that characterize transmission for the typical strain of CLRDV. The reported retention is up to 12 days, and transmission can occur in under a minute. This finding is not consistent with the literature regarding phloem-limited viruses, which states that the transmission occurs in 15 to 30 minutes. Additionally, the acquisition time for Brazilian CLRDV was not reported. Now, if you look at cotton bunchy top, the acquisition time is 5 minutes. Now this is also faster than the reported time of when an aphid is able to reach the phloem. So our understanding of the mode of transmission for CLRDV is incomplete, and we need to better understand the time it takes for the virus to be acquired and transmitted. All right. Whiteflies were investigated as a vector for CLRDV due to the simultaneous occurrences of CLRDV symptoms with the whitefly outbreak in southern Alabama back in 2017. However, once the virus isolates were sequenced, they were proven to be polarovirus rather than begamoviruses. The viruses are very specific to their hosts and vectors due to physiological and cellular interactions. As such, there are no reports of different insect groups, such as aphids and whiteflies, transmitting the same virus. Therefore, my two objectives for this set of experiments were to characterize the mode of transmission for U.S. aphid CLRDV populations and to investigate the status of Amesia tabaci as a vector for CLRDV. So I'm going to start off with the persistence studies in the wingless aphids. To characterize the mode of transmission for U.S. aphid CLRDV populations, aphids were reared on a CLRDV-infected plant in a growth chamber set at 30 degrees centigrade. So an age cohort of 1 to 2 day old aphids was created by placing the adults onto the infected plant, allowing them to reproduce and removing those adults 48 hours later. Once that cohort reached adulthood, the apterous aphids were moved by paintbrush onto individual cotton leaf discs and returned to the growth chamber. Each aphid was subsequently moved to a new leaf disc every 24 hours until the aphid died. So the leaf discs were then held in the growth chamber for 5 days to allow for virus replication before being flash frozen and tested for the presence of CLRDV infection via PCR. Leaf discs are especially useful for virus testing because they only take 5 days as opposed to the 4 weeks needed to grow out a whole plant. I'm going to take a second to address a question that was asked during Marcio's presentation. Yes, I have grafted the virus. Yes, it does work. Leaf discs are just a bit faster. All right. Characterizing the mode of transmission is still in progress, but I do have the results for one of the persistence studies. So these are the results of CLRDV infection by 14 adult apterous or wingless aphids over the course of their lives. So if you took a look at the table, the columns represent each day in the study, and each row represents an aphid. The bottommost row of data indicates the number of live aphids that are transmitting on that day. The far right column is labeled totals. It indicates the number of days an aphid was able to transmit over its lifespan. So all 14 aphids in the study tested positive on at least one day. Most transmission occurred during the first 10 days after acquisition. But one aphid did transmit on day 15. However, the most number of days a single aphid was able to transmit for was 8 days. And right now, these are the only results I have finalized for the aphids. But before I finish, I can tell you the results of the transmission with Bemisia. Although we didn't expect Bemisia to transmit, a lot of people associate this insect with the initial outbreak of CLRDV because the symptom appearance coincided with the major whitefly outbreak in South Alabama. So the whitefly experiment consisted of two treatment groups. And in treatment one, the whiteflies fed on CLRDV infected cotton for 4 days. And in treatment two, the whiteflies fed on clean, uninfected cotton for 4 days. They were then aspirated onto cotton leaf discs in groups of 10 and allowed to feed for 2 days. So we chose to use 10 whiteflies per leaf disc instead of the traditional one in order to maximize our chances of transmission. The results of PCR testing are up on the left. And the top gel is for treatment one. And as you can see, there are no positive bands. Therefore, whiteflies do not transmit CLRDV. And the middle gel is treatment two, the negative control. And the bottom gel was a CLRDV-infected plant to ensure that the tissue the whiteflies fed on was infectious. The acquisition access period and the inoculation access period times were chosen because these are the recorded maximum times for transmission in luteaviruses. We wanted to increase our chances of observing transmission if whiteflies were in fact a vector. So in conclusion, aphids can transmit U.S. CLRDV up to 15 days, longer than what was reported in Brazil, and the highest transmission occurs in the first 10 days. And for whiteflies, they do not transmit CLRDV. So other experiments I'm working on include determining the acquisition access period and inoculation access period in both alates and apterus, as well as characterizing persistence in alates. So later this year, I hope to be able to collect other aphid species, such as Mysis persica, the green peach aphid, and Aphis crocivora, the cowpea aphid, and test them for transmission efficiency of CLRDV. Overall, these experiments will allow me to develop a fast screening method for resistance in cotton germplasm. Thank you for your attention. I would like to thank the people who funded this project, Cotton Incorporated, and the Foundation for Food and Agricultural Research, as well as Dr. Jacobson's lab and Dr. Cassie Connor's lab for helping me get this done. I'll now be taking questions.